Hey, Jim, I got a call from a friend out west yesterday, and I guess he's just looking for something to do because what he's thinking of doing this summer is having some bee beards at the county fairs and wherever it is that he goes.
Yeah.
And he asked me what I know about doing bee beards, and I held him off for a bit because I wanted to talk to you first. Have you ever done bee beards?
Well, Kim, I have done parts of bee beards. I've been around them a lot. I guess we can talk about it for a while.
Hi, I'm Kim Flottam.
And I'm Jim, too.
And today, it looks like we're going to talk about bee beards or some aspect of doing bee beards on Honeybee Obscura. Come on along.
You are listening to Honeybee Obscura, brought to you by Growing Planet Media, the folks behind Beekeeping Today podcast. Each week on Honeybee Obscura, hosts Kim Flottam and Jim Tu explore the complexities, the beauty, the fun, and the challenges of managing honeybees in today's world in an engaging and informative discussion meant for all beekeepers, long-timers, and those just starting their journey with bees. So sit back and enjoy the next several minutes as Kim and Jim explore all things honeybees.
Kim, right off the bat, this guy who called you, does he know anything about this procedure? Where are we starting, number one? And probably as important as number one is number two, why is he doing this?
Well, where he is starting is that he's a fairly good beekeeper. He's been at it for a bunch of years, so he's familiar with bees. He doesn't have that issue. Why he wants to do it, I'm going to have to find out because I can think of a whole lot of reasons not to do it.
Yep. You know, right now as we're talking, there's people on both sides of the fence. Don't ever do these things or do them all the time. It's not an easy call. I mean, are they good or are they bad? I don't know, Kim.
Yeah, there's a group of people, a group of beekeepers out there that say that bee beards kind of show how, what's the word I want? The word that comes to mind is crazy, but that's not the word I want.
Well, maybe it's the right word. I don't know. Yeah, I know, though. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And then there's a group of people that are really, really in favor of doing bee beards because it shows the people that are watching that, no, you're not going to die. Bees can be friendly and they can be worked with and entertaining and you're not going to get hurt or nobody else in the crowd is going to get hurt. So there's both camps here. And my guess is what I should do, or maybe what we should do, is kind of start at ground level with this guy and say, okay, if you've never done one before, here's a way to do a simple one, more complicated. And then, you know, the master of bee beards, yeah, the universal master of bee beards, Norm Gary out in California, we can go all the way up to the techniques he uses for some pretty sophisticated.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. You know, either way, Kim, you've got to be a good bee biologist and a good bee behaviorist to do these things properly. This is not something where you buy a beginning bee book, get a package of bees, and the first thing you do is put a bee beard on. I mean, that's pretty far down the list of things you're going to be doing.
Yep. Well, I guess the first thing I tell this guy, my friend, is, you know, talk to your group. Is this something that your group is in favor of doing, or are you gonna cause a civil war and have two sides of the equation bickering with each other? So find out that first so that you've got everybody on the same side of the tracks. Then, once you've settled that and you've found out that your group is happy, or some number of the people in your group are happy to help, then you got to talk to the people that are going to be supporting this. You know, the county fair or the master gardener meeting or whoever it is, you know, the next beekeeper meeting. Do they support it? You know, it's kind of like putting bees in your yard. What do your neighbors think?
Yeah, to get permission to do that from them, right? No, you got to have people on board, otherwise it's going to turn into a lot of work. There's safety reasons that can't be ignored. Is this a good time to ask? Are they going to have a cage, or is this going to be an open event?
Well, open event isn't in the equation, I don't think.
I know that some of these things are open, but if they're going to be an open event, I really hope it's going to be a beekeeper event.
Yep.
I would hate for them to be in the parking lot of the local grocery store doing this, you know, without some confinement, some cage.
Well, the tents exist, and it's early enough in the season that he's got a lot of time to round one up, borrow one, or buy one. So you can get them, and there's, you know, just a screen tent, probably, what, about 6 by 6, 8 by 8, something like
right.
that?
Something like that. Something just to confine the free flight.
Yep. And you can get us, you know, you can have a beekeeper sitting in there and a beekeeper walking around him, enough room to walk around him so that the bees can be applied to the person sitting on the chair. So that's what you, that's the place to start. Get permission, get a cage.
Yeah. They really are attention getters. No doubt they are attention getters. So for the sake of this new guy starting, or whatever he's doing, I don't really know where he is, but for the sake of this guy, what kind of bees, Kim? If we're going to do this at the elementary level, we're going to do this toward the simple side, where are you going to get the bees to do this?
Well, a way to do it that always seems to work is to start with a package or two or three. And there's good reason for starting with a package is that they have been essentially queenless. And you can make sure that they've been queenless for like 48 or 72 hours, so that you've got all the bees in the same state. You got three packages, let's say, and they're all queenless. So they're all looking for a queen, and they're all looking for a queen about with the same attraction. So that's where I would start.
And that's good. You know, one of the techniques, if you've got established colonies, is to pick your beehive up, move it 5 or 6, 7 feet away, put a trap hive on the old stand, pick up the old bees, and then where you've moved the colony, it's all younger bees because you left the foraging force at the original stand site, and then you shake those bees out. So you're kind of stacking the deck. You're going in with younger house bees, nurse bees, not the ones that are all defensive and have already been out flying, foraging, and defending the colony. They're over on the other location.
Oh, that would be good. That gives you a leg up, as it were, in terms of the temperament of the bees.
Right. You know, this is, I think I'm going to say this too, Kim. This is not something that you do with a bee colony in an effort to increase honey production.
Yeah.
Or pollination services. This is a taxing event for this bee colony. There's going to be bees in the cage. There's going to be bees that die on the floor. There's going to be bees lost outside the cage. So I'm sounding negative, but I mean to sound truthful.
Yep.
This is an event that you need to really have support for, and that you're convinced is going to be worth the cost that the bees are going to have to endure.
Well, once you've made that reckoning, then in you're still in the planning stage here. There are several ways you can look at this. You can do it from a small scale, and that's what you see a lot of. And a way to do that would be you've got this group of queenless bees in some sort of box, and then you get a queen, just a single queen, that you apply to the person who is sitting in the chair waiting to have the bee beard applied to him. And a typical way to do this is under the chin. You tie that queen cage, she's in a cage, under the beekeeper's chin. Now, some things the beekeeper is going to want to consider. One of them is cotton in your ears. The other one is, you know, I've seen a lot of people do this, and right now it wouldn't make nobody'd even notice, is a surgical mask.
Right. Nobody would even notice. You're right. And that would prevent having to put cotton in your nose. I mean, some of those guys used to pack cotton in their nose and then breathe through their clenched teeth. These environmental conditions might explain to you why I always chose to be the guy outside the screen tent, telling the crowd what was going on and what the people inside the cage are doing. That was always my role.
That's a good role. Yep.
So you got this cage under the guy's chin or under the woman's chin. All kinds of people do it. And then you got these bees from somewhere. They're either queenless or they're either young bees from colonies that we've moved. And then you do what? You dump them on the shirt of this guy, or?
Well, I've seen it done a lot of ways, and the way that I've always liked best was you take this box of bees, and you put it up, you hold it a little bit below the chin of the person who's going to wear these bees, and you put some, you make some way for the bee, so the bees can walk out of the box up of some sort of platform and begin to surround the queen underneath his chin. And as a way to do that is a piece of a window screen.
Okay.
Lots of traction, and you can make it as wide or as narrow as you want, depending on the box you have the bees in. And you hold the, you hold the box close enough so that they don't have to walk very far. They're just sort of, and if you can imagine this, it's like a wave washing on shore. The bees just kind of wave up that screen around
right.
that queen.
Yep. They're just clustering, just like they would if they were swarming. Yep.
And you keep you keep letting them in. And then you, if you can, you assist the ones that are reluctant in the box, perhaps with a little tug with a piece of paper or something. And you get as many of them up there as you want up there, and then you set the box aside. And then what you're doing outside the tent is telling people what's going on. So what's going on now?
Yep. You know, what's going on right now probably should be us taking just a minute to acknowledge the people who help us pay the bills. Let's be right back.
Okay.
Better Bee is pleased to sponsor today's episode of Honey Bee Obscura podcast. For over 40 years, Better Bee has supplied beekeepers across the country with the tools, equipment, and knowledge needed to succeed. Because many Better Bee employees are beekeepers themselves, they understand your needs and challenges and are better prepared to answer your beekeeping questions. From their colorful catalog to their supportive beekeeper educational activities, including this podcast, Better Bee truly lives up to their tagline of beekeepers serving beekeepers. See for yourself at betterbee.com.
So once you get all those bees out of that box, they've climbed up that screen and they're just kind of comfortable sitting on underneath this guy's chin, probably some of them on the chin. If you've got a lot of bees up on your cheeks, some on your shoulders in the front of your shirt. What's next? You're outside the tent telling people what's going on. So what are you telling people?
I'm telling people that these people are not being killed by these bees because they're younger bees and because they were well fed and because they're not breathing on them directly and they're being gentle and that this is the bee's natural response. I'm telling them basically natural bee biology in an unnatural situation.
You know, you just mentioned something that I neglected to mention, is that once you separate these bees from their queen and you've got them in this box confined, you're feeding them with a spray bottle of sugar syrup like mad.
Oh, yeah.
I neglected to say that. Yeah. So put that into the equation there.
Well, I really hope, you know, ironically, this sounds like a commercial, and I don't mean for it to. But ABC, the new ABC issue, has a good description of this process that we're going to refer to more here in a bit. But read that before you take this on. You've got to talk to a lot of people. But you're right, Kim. Young bees, feeding them heavily, keeping those bees happy, that's the next step. So these people who shape them up, their secret tool that they used to use here in Ohio for shaping these bee beards was a credit card.
Ah.
Have you ever seen such? Did you know that anything? Because you could flick a bee. So instead of trying to catch a bee with your finger or whatever, you'd flick it off with a credit card, or you'd groom, you know, like using a hive tool to shape the bee beard around as the crowd was just in awe of what was going on up there.
It keeps them where you want them. I've seen bee beards reluctant to cluster around the queen, and they're just spreading up down the chest, across the shoulders, up the cheeks, to the top of your head. I don't know why.
All right.
But your credit card thing is the tool that you need or something similar to kind of push them back down where you want them.
This is a good opportunity to say that every beard isn't a beautiful beard. You know, every swarm that hangs on a tree is not a beautiful swarm. Some of those things are up and down the side of the tree and hard to get to, and others hang on a beautiful bulbous ball there that is easy to hide. So some days you score, some days you don't score.
You mentioned the ABC and the section by Norm Geary. I think we want to do that later because that's going to be a whole different technique, because what we got to do is finish this one.
Oh, okay.
We have to put those bees back in that box.
Well, I was worried for our listeners here because this is turning into you should be taking notes kind of a format, because if we get into what Dr. Geary does too, then this is going to be a bit of a discussion here.
So how do you get the bees off my chin, off my cheeks, off my chest, back into the box?
Okay.
What's the best way to, what are the ways to do it? Because I know there's more than one.
Are you quizzing me or are you asking a hypothetical question?
Well, you're the guy outside the tent telling people what's going
on. Okay. If you're quizzing me, then I would say, okay, there's the bee beard nicely shaped. It's a very temporary thing. Everybody gets your pictures as the person walks around and everybody's applauding and clapping. And then the moment comes, you got to get these things off. And in most cases, that person wearing the beard would lean slightly to the front and would snatch from his waist up, from her waist up, and would knock off most of the bees. And then they tumble to the floor and start flying, and then that cage comes off with the queen on it, and it would be put someplace inside the tent, and then the bees would find the queen and begin to recluster around her someplace inside the cage tent. Then back to the person who had the bee beard on. Credit card was going got crazy, flicking bees off, keeping bees off the collar if the guy had a shirt on. And then sometimes a special device that we will definitely discuss in the other segment to be done is the vacuum. The vacuum would come out and the remaining bees would be vacuumed off. These vacuums are really useful, and our sponsor, BetterBee, has one that they use for this very purpose. So The vacuum, the bees are vacuumed off. And everything is cleaned up, and it's over, and then the placard goes up that the next show will be 2 or 3 hours from now. Everybody takes a break and enjoys the event.
Well, there you are. There's a, I guess you call it a kind of a small-scale bee beard technique?
That's a small-scale bee club running it kind of event. At the county fair, right.
All right. Well, I think, like I said, I think we'll wait until next time and talk about the bigger events where you're using pounds and pounds and pounds of bees and you're covering somebody's whole body, because the physics and the biology is basically the same, but the techniques are a lot different.
Then they're hot. Just as a kind of a tickler for the next episode, if you're wearing 30 pounds of bees, it is a hot outfit.
Yep.
So it'll be good. This is a lot of fun. This is enjoyable. I'm not promoting. Maybe you are. I'm not promoting or not promoting. I'm just saying that this is bee biology used in an unusual situation.
Yeah. One more thing, Jim, I want to mention is that if you're listening to this program and you either like it or you don't like it, one or the other, but share it with a friend. Tell a friend to tune in and see what they think about it. And you know, if you're thinking of doing a beard in the near future, here's some support for you.
Until we talk again about it, I think that's enough.
Thanks for your help.
Yep, and thanks as always to the listeners who hung on this far.
Yeah, I'll see you next time.
I'll see you next time. All the best.